Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold! Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at dungeonsanddoritos.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. All right, guys. We have a couple people with us today. It's myself, of course, Liam, and we've got Doug in.
Hello.
And Max is not here.
Because he has plague.
Yeah, he caught one of the conditions that we'll eventually design. And but we have with us Katie.
Hello.
Katie's here because she will be exiting the podcast soon.
Yeah.
She got a...
And the state, as far as I was aware.
Katie will be leaving the state for an opportunity, and we wish her the best. But we do want to hear from her about what her experience has been like playing this RPG relative to her otherwise limited gaming experience. Do we have any questions for Katie to start off with?
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Good.
It's been a long week, but I'm all right.
The word you used earlier was hungover.
Yep. That too.
Quite a lot of wine.
Yeah.
So you made your character, Von Vandeven. You're going to play him again one more time.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to make another character, what would you change?
I would go with a profession that is not as silly. I'm finding it hard to like work it into a lot of our stuff. Like, we had an argument last week of whether lying is considered acting, and I was making the argument that it was, just so I could use it. But
and if we ever got to like a city, being an actor would be more useful.
Yeah, I could probably do something more with that.
Yeah,
get on Apple Box and do whatever to make a distraction or something. I don't know, but
earn some coin.
Yeah, and so
some Dairon.
Yeah, I would like to have a profession that would more easily fit into different areas of one, just character interaction and I guess combat.
Okay. When you went to create your character, it took a while to get a concept that you liked.
Yeah.
But what about mechanic wise? When you came to make a character from the system, as far as the steps that it took to create a character in the mechanics, were there any like sticking points on that stuff that didn't make sense?
What do you mean?
I have to pick a core, then a step, or what do my attributes do? How do they work together? Like, was there anything that was maybe could have been simpler?
No, because as far as path goes, like when I came up with this ridiculous idea for this Eshwin, there are things that I knew I could do with the past, like how that fit into my character. So for champion, I could be really dramatic and be like when calling out someone in battle, like I could be really dramatic about that, and that could be funny. Or like in Radiance, like I knew I was going to be a healer, and I had this whole other backstory to go with that. Like I wouldn't choose something that makes no sense for your character, like because you're just really going off the rails of like really. Like, it sounds cool, but is it actually working with the story?
You've played Pathfinder and Starfinder.
Yes. Grumble.
Right. Have you played any other RPGs? You play a lot of tabletop games as well.
Yeah, just regular board games. But those are the only two. That was my first introduction to, like, RPGs.
And, like, Dungeons & Dragons style?
Yeah. Like, I had never played a Dungeons & Dragons game, but, like, I knew of it. But these, like, Pathfinder and Starfinder campaigns were the first, my first interaction with it.
Mm-hmm. And those are pretty similar in mechanics.
Yeah.
Is there something from those two games that was easier to deal with than in ours?
I guess it's hard to say, because what I do like about this is, one, the people.
Right. Uh-huh. Well, of course.
Well, that'll improve every game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, just, but, like, the, what I like about this is that, like, since it is an RPG from scratch, like, It's a bit more loose feeling. And the story is also independent. It's not based off a book or anything like that. Like, it's coming from you. As opposed to, like, the other two campaigns I played, like, they're heavily book-driven. You really couldn't deviate from certain paths. And, like, we with the group I was in, they were unwilling to ignore something because they figured because it's from a book, we have to do this in order to get to the next step.
There was metagaming.
Yeah.
Because they knew that it was written down in the book.
Right. Yeah. And so...
What do you feel was, like, the most difficult thing to deal with when you're first starting? I mean, I know that every, like, RPG, like, when I first played Dungeons & Dragons, I was, like, overwhelmed. I had so many choices. I don't know. What do you feel like is the hardest thing to overcome when, like, making a character and playing for the first time? Was it, like, just understanding the basic mechanics, or was it, like, that things felt different than what you were expecting? What was the hardest thing?
Mechanics-wise, like, it's a bit of a learning curve, but, like, now that I'm in it, like, it's a bit easier for me to, like, calculate my moves and stuff like that and, like, how much damage I can do for whatever. But my hardest thing was actually coming up with a character, because the other two RPGs I had played, one was, like, I was thrown into it because they were doing, like, a side campaign because someone was gone for a while. And so they did a side campaign, they brought me in, and someone gave me a character.
Okay.
And so I played off of that, and I, like, tried to make it his own as much as I could, but really, like,
you were filling a role that they wanted.
Yeah. And so it's just like, where do you really go with that when you don't connect with the character? And then in Starfinder, I had made a mistake of going with something that was, like, myself, and myself is shitty. So, like, no, it was
boo.
Just
boo on your self-hatred.
No, but it was just like, not that you have to be this crazy character or anything like that, but you also wanted to make it to where it's interesting to the story and the rest of the party involved. Yeah. Like, not just, if you design a character just based off of yourself, there's really no room to go with that. Like, the idea of, like, RPGs is that you get to do different things, something you wouldn't normally do, and that's really fun. So, like, when I made this character, I made a point to go with something that wasn't inside my comfort zone. So, like, my Eshwin, he also has a German accent, which I'm terrible at, but, like, but it's nice because, like, it's such a silly thing. Like, I enjoy what I get to do with it. Like, it feels
you had
more
fun,
like
fun exploring it.
Yeah,
as opposed to,
yeah, I like my character. I'm really gonna miss playing and everything like that, but I enjoy what I've made because, like, I've connected with the character.
Did you have any expectations coming in that either weren't met to disappointment or to good surprise? Like, okay, well, combat's going to be, everyone takes a turn, it's going to be kind of boring. And then it was like, oh, that's actually fun. Or an expectation of like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to gauge, like, what expectations you brought into it that either it met or did not meet.
And the others I played in, like, combat took forever. And it was always like, next combat, next combat, next combat. Like, we would just, like, randomly stab people and then we'd have to fight our way out of something, and you're mm-hmm. just like, why'd we do that? Like, makes no sense. But, like, people wouldn't be ready on their turn, and, like, combat can easily drag, especially if, like, you're not discussing with each other, like, oh, hey, you can move here, and that'll set me up to do this, you know, like. And
so you feel like there's more communication at the table for, like, during combat for this?
Yeah, 100%. Max's character, he has...
Where he moves people?
Yeah, and so, like, that's cool. So you're all still involved with everyone's combat turn.
It pays to listen.
And it's just more enjoyable, like, you know, when everyone's working together instead of, like,
I'm busy fighting over here.
Yeah, like,
over
doing
there.
things that, like, don't make any sense. Like, you know, when you have an enemy surrounding one person and, like, someone's off in a corner, someone runs to that person, and you're just like, we have to deal with the problem at hand so our person doesn't die. Mm-hmm. Like, and so, like, having that communication, like, you guys all being experienced in RPGs, like, that was helpful, because, like, I'm really not, like, I don't know if you know this, but, like, in the Starfinder one, I played maybe 4 episodes. I was so tired of combat by it, just by other different things, not necessarily just the people in the combat, but, like, just other things I was enjoying. And I was like, I go in this room and I kill myself. And I sat on the couch and read
Damn.
A book. And I had a great time after that.
I feel so bad for you. It's like, you're like, this thing that's supposed to be fun is so not fun. I'm just going to die.
Oh, it was awful.
Like,
and then,
like, you literally decided to die instead of continue to play.
Yeah, I, like, couldn't do it anymore because I'm just like, I'm so tired of this. And also, like, the one of the campaigns we were on, like, we all had daily attacks and all that. We were in the same day for, like, 2 or 3 episodes.
Damn.
So we all used our stuff the first day. The characters we were fighting were way out of our range. It had to be, because we were almost dying, like, every time we fought someone. I was like, this isn't fun. Like, I'm not saying it's supposed to be easy, that you have to be like, yeah, you're fighting things left and right, and, like, no worries. Like, I do enjoy
a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, sure, yeah.
But it just seemed like, without being able to rest and, like, get your stuff back, then you're just like,
It's just
so
non-stop.
None of us can do anything like anything cool. We're literally just having to use like all of our ammo and stuff to like hopefully kill this thing so we can move on.
In a worst case scenario, the same thing could happen with this system. If people are just like, no, we just like the combat. You know, as long as you're having fun, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you're like, they're like, look, I'm here for like a role play experience, not a combat experience, you know?
But I feel like the presence of the momentum system does kind of help that person.
Oh, sure.
Though.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I get really into it with my character, and if it pays off and the GM doesn't give you momentum, I think you got a case to be like, dude, come on. You know, like.
Yeah.
There's also scenarios when you spend momentum, because that requires a moment, it puts you more in the moment of combat. And also you kind of get, you know, when you decide like maybe next turn I'm going to spend momentum,
mm-hmm.
and then you it almost hyper focuses you on like what's going on, how can this best be spent, I want to make a moment, I want to make a show.
Yeah.
I just meant in the case of Starfinder, if that was just a group that they were playing a certain type of game, and then you came in thinking, all right, I'm going to play a role-playing game, and they're like, well, we don't really do that here. Then it's like, that's just a bad matchup.
Yeah. So it was the same group for both the Pathfinder, where I was just the one-off, and then there is a point where we go into this nightclub, and we're trying to figure out clues as to what's happening. Literally everyone we talk to. Nothing. Like, we could not get anything out of him. Everyone who went and talked to someone, like, could not get anything out of him. And so
we failed every role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it wasn't like just it was being difficult.
You
like,
stonewalled. Yeah. It was just, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were just literally failing every role. So, like, there was no reason for us to be there. And, like, but we were hanging out. Like,
we had no reason to think that these people knew anything.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, you know, they're really not giving, they're being tough. It's like, no, it's like you literally rolled so low that you're
you
just like,
know, yeah.
Is this the right club?
Yeah. Yeah. That was his first time GMing a game as well. So, like, he's very good, but he wasn't, like, letting us know, like.
Like, giving you enough clues
to
go on?
Well, not enough clues, but just saying that, like, yeah, you like, there's no reason for you to think that, like, anything's going on here. So, like, and he was also going off a book. So, like, I don't think he was ready yet to help us. Like, if we were all just like, let's just leave this club, like, he was trying to keep us there in order to get through whatever was set up.
Waiting for you to roll high enough to get to the next thing.
Yeah. So he wasn't.
And if you weren't making those rolls, then you're just kind of stagnating.
I don't think he yet felt comfortable enough to, like, make a bridge.
Yeah.
You know, to do that. I mean,
or build his own parachute.
Right. He's not doing a bad job. It's just in that moment, you could see where he was at a loss, and so were we.
It was our second time playing, I think, that we were there.
That's the thing. There's this game system called Gumshoe that I really want to play sometime. The game is just pure investigation. Like, you play a cop or like an X-Files type person.
Or a goblin private investigator.
You could be a private investigator. It's up to you. And there's different settings. But the whole idea is that the people who made the game were like, I hate how in D&D, if you're doing an investigation and you roll bad, you won't find anything. Like, the murder weapon could be there. And if you just keep rolling shitty, you'll never find it.
Yeah.
The basic premise behind Gumshoe, in like a nutshell, is when you sit down to play, the GM literally gives you all the evidence. Because you're a professional investigator, you mm-hmm. would be able to find it. That's
right.
The idea.
Okay.
So you have all the evidence. Now, what do you do with that? How do you connect the dots? And you roll for things like there's a weird cult thing going on and the cultists are chasing you. You roll to get away from them and hop over things and do this or whatever. So
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, you never have to roll for what you're an expert at. So basically,
right.
You pick your expertise. And if you're like, oh, I'm a cop who's an expert at computer forensics and accounting. If you're investigating a crime and they're like, oh, there's a high-tech security system here. You're like, well, hey, I got the computer skill that
right.
I know about security systems. You don't have to roll, you just get it. And I thought that was interesting. But that's so you mentioning that, like, oh yeah, we're just asking questions and we're failing and the story stops, and I'm like, shit. Like,
yeah,
it
was a long time we were in there, and then I can't remember what happened, but like something, he forced something to happen to where we got where we needed to go. But
and
it
you
was
had
just
a shootout.
Like,
probably. Yeah, we had a shootout.
Yeah,
definitely always
just,
a shootout.
Like,
yeah, a shootout where I didn't have my weapon, and
no
I had a grenade
yeah.
hidden in my cheek pouch, so I had to like fist fight with the guard at the door to try to get my weapon, and then I had to throw my grenade out of my mouth into the. It was very strange. It was a very desperate moment that didn't have to exist. It's nobody's fault. No, it was a couple people's fault. So all right, so let's get into design. All right.
Yes.
We talked about scoundrel needing an overhaul.
Uh-huh.
Because we want to feel more like a real scoundrel when playing, and not just like, oh, these are the sneaky attacks. Like, what ways can we renovate scoundrel so that we've already got backstab? And I was thinking, like, dude, pocket sand, throwing it in somebody's eyes.
I do want pockets.
Yeah, pocket
I
sand.
I think it would be so funny for Keith to use, like,
I can
just,
hand.
Yeah, just be like, ha!
I feel like that's more Kelton, though. Like, Kelton would be more used.
Yeah,
yeah. So, oh, I forget, he's Scoundrel,
he did,
too.
He did take Step 1 Scoundrel, yeah.
But couldn't anybody just grab dirt off the ground and throw it? Like, is it...
Probably,
But what makes it Scoundrel? Like, what makes it not just a handful of dirt from the ground?
That you already have it in your pocket.
But why would you carry a pocket of sand?
For this exact moment.
Unless it's
you dirty fight, man. You fight dirty.
Well, no, but what if instead of just being sand, if it's just like, oh, this is like...
Blinding
powder or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
probably.
Like,
it makes more sense.
Yeah.
I still want it to be pocket sand.
Calling it pocket sand is
more fun.
Maybe one step down, it is pocket sand. Two steps down, it becomes the blinding powder.
So I think that pocket sand, traps, poisons, those kind of things.
Yes.
How do we work that into Scoundrel while keeping their... Like, how do you make a trap happen in combat?
I remember, we were talking about this, like, do you set it up beforehand, keep it on you, then throw it? Or do you have to take a round to set it up? Or
even,
or
like,
action?
You can do something where you have a thing on you that is a trap you built. And if there's a caster, they can cast something into it, and you can set it down.
Hold
and set
it.
Yeah, they cast it into it, and you throw it. You could just have something like explosive trap.
Yeah.
You leave it on the ground and move away.
Like a mine?
Yeah, like a mine or a...
I do want prep. I think prep in characters
Nobody has prep yet.
Fun.
Yeah.
Poison
is prep, and traps are prep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to be like, okay, we're going to camp here for the night, and just to make sure if anything bad happens, I want to set up a snare in this hex over here, mm-hmm. and then if combat happens and the big guy shows up and he's a pain in the ass, your guff buddy can just shove him over into the snare, and then whoop, up he goes. Like,
or mm-hmm. even like a bell trip.
Yeah.
You're like, I make a perimeter bell trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think...
Those are things that couldn't you say that that's like a hunter or like a ranger class?
That's a ranger and hunter is a profession.
Yeah. Right, but I'm just saying,
if you want to use these things in combat, anybody can do these things.
Right.
But if you want to use them in combat, that's your path.
Gotcha, okay.
Like if you're like, I want to rig up a trap so that if somebody comes into our camp, it'll alert us they're there. Or I want to build it so that it'll explode. It's like, cool, just describe it, roll, let's see how well you build it. That's not closed off to anybody. But if you're like, I want to do the move where I... kind of shuck and jive and they stumble into a trap that I left behind, yeah. that's a move,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh man, okay. One of the things that I think would be fun, you know, and it's almost exclusively an anime because it's in Spriggan and I love it, is the razor wire movements and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's Scoundrel, but that would be so cool.
Maybe that's late game Scoundrel.
Oh.
Like the razor finger wire.
Yeah.
There's in Johnny Mnemonic, there's the guy with the laser whip in his thumbnail.
Yeah.
That kind of shit. Let's say step one, okay? You're going step one Scoundrel, because core I'm happy with.
Yeah.
All right. You're going step one Scoundrel.
I'm just thinking, like, what's like some Spetsnaz shit? And I'm like, spring-loaded knife. Like,
that, I don't hate that idea.
That's
like,
great.
You're like, all right, it's a knife. Yeah, I stab you. And then it's like, all right, well, you got a short range. You just got a knife, Mr. Stabby. Fuck you. Button. Boom. And then just blade goes launching. Didn't expect that.
Even like hidden blades would be great.
Mm-hmm. Something that could deploy something.
Trips.
Or just like the idea that
marbles.
You got a weapon. You got a weapon loaded marbles. Up. You got a one-handed weapon loaded up, yeah. And you can deploy it into your hand immediately as a free action.
I'm just thinking coked up Kevin McAllister. Like he just like, really is all I'm thinking. Like
so, just adult Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
All right. So the step one right now is that if you have if you crit while the upper hand, the target's knocked down.
Uh-huh.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's great.
Right. Like
it's dirty fighting.
Yeah, you knock him over. You trip him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, all right, their at will is a deceptive strike, and it just adds your composure to the damage.
Yeah.
That's kind of boring. And let's throw something else in there.
Also, they have a damage-dealing core.
Yeah.
So if you take that for core...
Well, if this is an attack.
Yeah.
So it needs to deal some kind of damage.
Yes.
Should it be weapon damage, or should it be like, I do the thing?
We already have one where it knocks him prone, right?
That is only on crit.
Okay.
So maybe make it an at will attack. Where it's like if you hit with this, you only deal like a d4 of damage, but it knocks the target prone.
You could still do weapon damage, because even if you're not getting that puncture and not getting that armor,
mm-hmm.
ignore. But yeah, the idea of status effects, doing things to your opponent and affecting their next turn.
Because like I think is a Scoundrel thing to do.
Yes.
Like maybe
sweep the leg is like, that's what we're
missing. Oh, we could call it sweep the leg, like sweep the leg Johnny.
Yeah.
As many movie references as we can make, I think the better.
I don't even mean to make that the official name. I'm just saying that's what we're talking about, right?
Yes.
We're talking about that type of sweep the leg, Scoundrel, Cobra Kai, cheap, dirty thing.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe it doesn't do weapon damage. Maybe just as your strength.
Okay.
right?
So it's like your strength versus their what, to not come down?
Well, no. You hit them and you deal strength damage, and that's it, and they fall down.
Okay, yeah.
And then the way that works internally in the path is that sets you up for the upper hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Your guff partner or whoever, your Savathian, hey, sweep the leg, I'll get him when he's on the ground. Woof, bam.
Yeah. Well, because champion gets executioner, which is...
There you go.
Fucking people are knocked down, you get an extra 5 flat damage.
Or you can mix that with entropy or cold, and then if they get rooted, essentially, so they can't get up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Their per scene right now is Blade Flurry. I think that's okay. Right now, it's you attack everybody around you, like, da, da, da! Like, and yeah. If you have the upper hand against any of them, you deal sneak attack to every single one you have the upper hand against.
Jesus.
I think setting that up would be real hard, and the payoff needs to be worth it.
True.
But... yeah, but if you knock one, so if you're adjacent to two enemies, right, and you flank with one, you've got the upper hand, and then you knock the other one down, and then you do Blade Flurry, you get sneak attack against two targets.
Can you do that in a single round?
If you're Tiktani.
All right.
I mean, kind
of.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to think of a situation which an enemy is knocked prone and then remains prone by the time your next turn comes.
Well, somebody else can knock a target down, too. Uh-huh. And then you can do that. So, like, I feel like the teamwork aspect of being able to knock down a target is good.
Needs to be important, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it can do weapon damage, right? Because a lot of times people are going to go for things like daggers and piercing weapons and stuff like that. So it'll do weapon damage and knock the target prone.
And it needs to feel functional if you're a champion or a citadel and you're like, I want some dirty fighting tricks. I'm gonna take a couple paths.
Okay. Let's do that.
Or even a situation where you're like, I'm champion, I want to be able to knock people down more so I can use my executioner.
Yes.
Well, it would seem that anything that encourages team play and communication pays off well. So
in step two, we give them a feature where if they get missed with a melee attack, they disengage. I changed that because that's already a Krex racial feature.
Ah, okay.
I didn't realize that. I changed it to reflexive riposte. And when an enemy misses you with a melee attack, you gain the upper hand against that enemy.
Oh. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So you could potentially get Blade Flurry against three targets just from exploiting what we've already talked about.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because if they whiff on you, then you get
Is there opening. A limit to the amount of upper hand, the people that can gain an upper hand on?
No, but there's a limit on how many attacks of opportunity you can have around. You can only have one per round. So the benefit
so you can
of the
still
hand,
use Blade Flurry, but you're only getting your one attack of opportunity.
Blade Flurry is not an attack of opportunity.
Oh, no, I'm saying you upper hand still counts for Blade Flurry, but you're not allowed to make multiple attacks of opportunity.
Correct, unless you are Core Citadel.
Okay.
But then you don't get sneak attack.
Yeah.
But you get unlimited attacks of opportunity. All right, so the other stuff we have in step two, all we have is a daily. Right now, it is execution, where if they're half health or lower, it does an extra weapon damage. It's 3 weapon damage and then does an extra one. I feel like if you're playing with daggers, man, adding an extra D4.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, not that great. So and, what about traps? What about poison? Yeah. Like,
and more importantly, if you're not using a dagger and you're not being a dagger scoundrel, 3 steps down, that's an investment in your character.
I was thinking
Dude,
about...
pocket sand.
fucking pocket sand.
Just blind him. But make blind
it last for a while.
Yeah.
So like,
or even what does blind do? Because we haven't had that conversation.
Yeah.
I was gonna say on the way over here, I was thinking about poisons, but that's like a whole school of magic almost. Like it's so you can go in so many different directions that it's like, oh, I paralyze him. Oh, I blind him. Oh, I slowly drain his health. Or
I feel like
he gets sick.
Well, what about each ability that is like a poisoned attack is with a specific kind of poison, and that's the effect the ability is built around.
Sure.
Yes.
If we think poison strike, how are you going to poison somebody with a hammer? You know, because there'll be rogues, scoundrels, whatever, using hammers with a two-handed hammer. Maybe they're contact poisons.
Yeah, if it's like on the skin or something
aerosols.
Like that.
Aerosols.
Maybe it's if you hit with them, you also get them like with a little needle strike.
Yeah, you can. Oh, you could just say like, oh, yeah, there's a hook hand or there's divots in my hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And
if there's like prep time to make a poison, if you have to be like, okay, I'm going to dip this in the thing, let it dry, and now when I hit it automatically. But then that's like every single thing.
Well,
you
Well, how about it's an attack where you hit with the weapon and it staggers them in such a way that you just slip them the poison like as a little dagger needle or whatever.
Uh-huh. I like that.
And I guess that way you can pull it out of your pocket after the hit, you know, and tag him.
And in certain cases, it's pocket sand. And in certain cases, it's like you blow it in their face and they're blind.
Scopolamine.
Yeah, yeah. Or,
yeah. So the conceit of every poison attack is not that it is just a poison attack. It's an attack that opens them up to be poisoned.
Yeah, because like you have
the poison, but that's not the hard part. The hard part is getting in there and getting it done.
And that's the thing. If like what was the ability where you get missed with the melee and suddenly you have the upper hand?
That's their feature. Yeah.
Right. So if they swing and miss, you have the upper hand. You could say, okay, I'm going to take this opportunity to, because if they just missed me, they're basically open to an attack.
Yeah.
I'm going to blow this thing in their face because that's such a dick move, you know, like out of nowhere that they're not expecting, and it blinds them. Or, oh, over time, it's going to do whatever. And the other thing I was thinking was, based on the effect, like maybe you have all these poisons open to you, like whatever we want to make, but how long the effect lasts is how good you make it, and how good you make it is based on how many steps you've gone down. So it's like the more steps, so if you go down step five, whatever, it's going to last 5 rounds, as opposed to when you first get it, it maybe only lasts a round.
Or you can attach the poison damage to another stat that's not strength, because there's a reason to start dumping points into strength as you go down scoundrel.
Yeah, sneak attack.
But if you dump it into your like intelligence,
let's give it to composure or intelligence and be like, okay, you have to make your poison better now.
Yeah. Either you make your poison or you have to buy it.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I like these ideas. Let's figure out a daily real fast, and then we'll spit this around.
Step three or two. Step two? Okay.
Step two. So what about a melee attack, and you hit them with a poison? What does the poison do? Let's say it does double weapon damage, but the poison has to be... Is it something that every hit you deal until the end of the... Maybe it's like poisoned weapon. Before striking, you apply a poison, and the poison now has this effect until the end of the encounter.
So it preps the weapon.
Yes.
That's what it's really doing.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like adding an effect to your weapon is okay, but really in the moment, it's about getting that one person real good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's really what makes it feel good. Other than blinding somebody with a poison, what else can it do? It can weaken them.
Over
right?
time, yeah.
It can...
Damage over time or a bleed effect?
Let's start with a damage over time. You know what? We should change their at will to be a poisoned strike, and we should give them a poison at step one.
Okay.
So maybe the poison at step one is a damage over time. It does a die four.
Done.
Extra damage to anybody hit with... You prep your weapon, you do that.
This is affecting Kelton, though.
Yes.
All right.
Well, should we replace Blade Flurry with something that allows you to apply a generic poison to a weapon, and you can always use that too? Because you could use it every scene if you want to, right? If you want to apply a poison to do this until the end of a scene. And it just does... Your first poison does a die four extra damage to everybody on the start of that enemy's turn every time.
But it doesn't stack.
It does not stack.
Doesn't stack. You poison people.
And you do die four. I feel like at step one, you get a feature that is like you get this poison. So we keep what we got where you crit their knockdown. But we also say feature, you get... what would a poison be that just does damage? Like, what would you call that?
Like acidic?
No, because I think that would bypass armor. It wouldn't
like
be
boiling
a
boiling oil. Like
it wouldn't be a coagulant. It might be a blood thinner. It might be.
I would imagine it's something that just hurts, right? If we're just talking about a die for
so
damage.
So a sting.
Yeah, stinging poison.
By the way, I got stung by a hornet in my neck 2 days ago, and it was awful. It was one of the. It was a bad.
Oh,
bad
you didn't night. Like it? Oh,
no, it was really bad. It was out of nowhere. I was sitting in a chair, and it just brought me to my knees. It was bad.
Oh yeah, like a bullet ant. You know?
Oh, it was. I've been stung by bees and hornets, but never
in the neck.
Never this close to my brain, and it fucked me.
Step one: they get stinging poison that they can prepare And it takes up like a quarter slot or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And their per scene ability applies it to their weapon, and anytime they do weapon damage, it applies that to the enemy, and they take a D4 of damage at the start of their turn until the end of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no save if they get hit.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get a save against
it. Some creatures are immune to poisons or immune to certain poisons.
Sure.
We'll deal with that later.
And the idea of like an enemy who has a high constitution in the traditional sense just means they have a lot of hit points.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Okay. So the scene will be poison strike. You apply the poison, you strike. 2 weapon damage, and then it applies the poison. That's all we need to worry about. All right, so step 2.
And I kind of like this because the champion core scoundrel that we have built is so single target damage that the idea of bouncing around doesn't really work for him.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another way to play scoundrel.
Yeah. So what's our daily then? Is daily pocket sand?
If as long as blinding a target fucking ruins them.
Yeah. I'd imagine that you...
But wouldn't you refill your pocket? I'm only going to refill this pocket once a day.
Well, you're not going to walk around with pockets full of sand all day.
that's why I say it's silly to begin with. Because you will...
Pocket sand is great.
Because if you don't use your daily, you are walking around with pockets full of sand all day.
Listen, Doug. This is a King of the Hill reference.
Yeah.
That
we are definitely putting in here.
It should be blinding powder. I know.
But we're going to call it pocket sand. It is blinding powder. And it should also be like caustic to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can talk about like the flavor of it later. But mechanically, we call it pocket sand. Maybe you do 2 weapon damage and the target is blinded for 1d6 rounds. That's harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as one of the parts of being blinded without blind fighter, again, there should be exceptions to the rule for certain characters.
Enemies that can't see. You wouldn't even use that ability. Yeah. Like,
but the idea that blinded is like, oh, everyone just has advantage on that guy now, or the upper hand on that character. That guy is fucked.
We'd say like that guy can't. That guy gets a okay. If you're blinded, you get a -10 to your attack rolls. Targeted attack. You can do blasts, right?
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But any targeted attack, you get a -10.
Hmm.
And
because if you're in a rage.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Well, I mean, if you are a fire guy and you can blast from your space.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to take a -10.
You just have to kind of know vaguely where they're at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you'll hear them where they're at, you know. But if you're trying to hit them with a weapon, you take a -10.
Sure.
Or if you're trying to shoot them with a magical attack.
Yeah, so targeted attack. Yeah.
You take -10. Let's do that. What about there's a rule that Pathfinder has for blind. You can only if you want to move more than half of your speed, you have to make a check or you fall flat on your face.
Eh.
I think you're limited to half speed.
You're just I don't want people falling all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, the enemy goes blind and just starts falling everywhere and blasting on space. Like, it sounds funny, but
I'm looking for those Mr. Magoo moments.
Okay, so -10 to the -10 to targeted attacks. You grant the upper hand from everyone, and you can only move at half speed.
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems all right.
All right.
I almost say take away the weapon damage then.
Maybe just as 1 weapon damage.
Yeah.
Okay.
For a lot of characters, that's a D4. For other characters, but man, if you blind someone, that is game over for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Command.
Let's make command rock.
So command is very sparse. I feel like we should move the granting a strike ability to step 1.
All right.
So that if you're like, because if you want to move into command, that's what you want.
Yeah.
You want to start with that. Just like if you move to Radiance, you want just at least 1 heal, even if it's not great. You want that. So let's move, take the shot. What is the core thing that command gets compared to everybody else, other than the ability to grant an attack? You know, on the level of sneak attack or the stuff that ice gets and fire, decay gets malediction. Like, what does command get?
I think command has got to do something group-based all at once. Something that even just like, all right, I do this, and someone gets to disengage, or someone gets to do, like...
As I say, we already have a grant of an attack. Do you grant a movement?
We have that, too. We have it, I think, in step 2 or something like that. So. Yeah.
To make this as simple as possible, the perspective is you are the other GM, right? Like you are GM versus GM, except you control your friends and the GM controls the NPCs. So other than moving and attacking, what more can you grant them?
What if the somebody in the role of command never grants the upper hand.
That's not their job.
Well, no, I mean that enemies cannot gain the upper hand against them. And that's like really powerful, but I feel like flavor-wise it doesn't really do the job. I mean, it kind of does a little bit.
So if you go down the steps of command, no one ever gets the upper hand on you?
Only if you're core command, because it's like I'm always one step ahead, basically.
Maybe.
But I don't actually like that, because I don't think that's actually as fun as it sounds.
No.
That's just, there's no participation on your part.
That's
yeah.
also removing something from someone else's toolbox, not giving you a tool.
Yeah.
Unless you grant it to someone, like if someone's prone or something and they're about to be attacked, it's just like you look out above you, and then it's suddenly sure. they don't have it anymore.
I really like the idea of reactions. I like command being about tactics and reactions.
Yeah, setups, immediate interrupts,
setups, and no, you fucking don'ts.
There was an ability that warlords had in 4th edition that was really good. And I feel like maybe if we added that to core, so no gambit is wasted.
I knew you were going to say it. You loved that one.
It is.
Everybody loves that one.
It's the single greatest ability in 4th edition.
Yeah. How do we make it so that it's not a per scene ability, but it's your core exception? Maybe if somebody misses with a per scene attack or a daily, you can make an attack against that target. And if it lands,
the daily applies or whatever?
No, it's not spent.
Yeah.
So in other words, I make a shot with my daily and I miss.
I get a ranged or melee attack. I get a basic attack of any kind against that target.
And if you hit it.
If I hit it.
I get it back.
You get it back. You still missed.
Right.
You know.
But I didn't waste my daily.
Yeah.
And if you miss, then I did lose the day.
And because we don't do half damage on miss, because we don't do applications of things on misses,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's overpowered.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
You guys like that one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, because flavor-wise, you could be like, I see what you were trying to do. That gave me an idea. Let me hit him. And then you're like, no, I fucked up. We both fucked up.
Yeah.
But if I hit him, then it's like the strategy is still valid in a way.
Yeah. Well, it's oh, you missed. Hang on. Bam. And like, right. I tagged him. Reset, try it again later. Like,
right,
we'll figure this out.
Yeah, you didn't have to overcommit.
I feel like that's a really good tool.
It's a really good tool.
And it just does whatever your basic attack does.
You could be
core command, and you could go into ice, and you have a basic attack with ice that you can use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes command powerful and interesting to use. It allows for your team to be a little more cavalier with their dailies when you're in the party. It changes the party dynamic, which is, I think, what command should do the most.
So what do we call... What's the idea? So if we're thinking about it from the perspective of people who are in combat, you know, and somebody goes for a big move and misses and somebody, like, jumps in to tag them, what do you call that? Because
I got your back, or... you're welcome.
Mulligan strike.
Yeah. It's like in every buddy cop movie when they still hate each other, but they're in a gunfight, and then it's like, damn, I'm out of bullets. And the bad guy comes up behind with a gun.
I think
and
you hear I've the gun- got your back.
Yeah, you hear the gunshot go off, and then the bad guy falls, and there's the other rookie cop who's like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Like,
and then tosses him the ammo from the enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, a late game command thing that I would really love would be a reaction of, someone spends momentum to do a thing. They miss and still get the failure, but they're like, you get to keep that momentum, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
That would be dope.
That's pretty high.
That would be super late.
Yeah.
I feel like if somebody misses with that ability and they spent momentum, the epic fail still applies.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not expanded if that person lands the other hit. But, think about it from command's point, though. Somebody goes to use their daily and it misses. Command can spend momentum to make sure their basic attack
hits
so that ability can be used again, especially for something like Blinding Strike.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal. All right. I like that a lot. Okay. We got that. So we move take the shot to step one,
uh-huh.
which means Max is probably going to have to go step one command, and he may not take core command. He may take something else.
Yes. But we allow for that wooziness because we're literally changing the rules.
Yeah, so he'll be into it. What do we move to core? What is their at will attack? Because I'm not sure. Let me look at the one we currently have. Step one attack currently is before or after the attack, one ally within 5 squares may disengage 2 spaces. I like that.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
That's great.
Yeah, let's just keep that. Let's swap them.
That's useful.
All right. So I feel like command is redesigned.
Yep.
We're good with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm currently redesigning the character sheet before we visit AVL Scarefest.
All right.
As players, is there anything you wish the character sheet did that it doesn't do?
Slots.
We haven't figured out slots yet.
And I want them to be big. I want them to be, like, because it's stripped down, but I want it to be very visual and very cool.
I think next design episode, we should go through and just create a list of the kinds of equipment that you can carry and what it does. And I like simple things where, like, you would carry a climbing kit and it would give you +5 to climb checks for anybody who uses what's in it. So you don't need 5 of them per party. You need one guy to have one.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets the bonus. So, and then like a trauma kit.
You only need one med kit. You don't all need to have every single, like, platoon tactics.
Right. So we'll get in on that probably next design episode, because we should take a deep dive on that and then get into equipment, weapons, slots, what kind of bags you should have, and magical items that augment your gear.
Yes.
You're not just replacing your weapon, you're upgrading the things you already have.
You're like, oh, I got alloy this, or better rope, and it just...
Yeah. Well, okay. Last time we talked about the topic of incentivizing GMs.
Yes.
So that there's a reason for GMs to care what their players think about what's going on and to reward them, you know, so that it incentivizes good behavior. I remember the big argument last time is like, well, what if he could bring somebody back from the dead? It's like, he can do that anyway. Yeah. You know, there's why wouldn't he just write that? What if the thing that it does is random? So what if you give the GM a chaos point? And that means that they roll a d6, and there's a table of things that happen based on what it lands on. So the GM's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to spend a chaos point. And the party's like, oh, shit. And you roll it, and you see what happens.
Oh, like okay. And if there's story moments, there's...
Well, because it's at the GM's discretion, you probably wouldn't use them for something that you have perfectly crafted and they finally got to.
Right. Well, let's say... Because,
for example, if, like, let's say you plan this encounter, because I've had this experience before, where I plan an encounter... And the players come in and they just fucking destroy.
We've all been this GM. Yeah.
So and you're like, and in my case, I was never like mad or upset, but I'm just like, wow, that went so fast. I don't have anything else planned right now. So I'm going to spend a chaos point and let's see what the fates have in store. And if you roll and there's a table of things that's like anything from like a crack in the ground opens up and
demon appears.
Or a demon appears and it's just like, it's a case of mistaken identity of like, you're the one I'm after. And you're like, what are you talking about? You know, or it's even something like if you're a DM and you know that they pissed off a barkeep, like the barkeep is like, you didn't pay your tab. And he's like, this guy's a badass. Mm-hmm. Like there is a system called the Masterbook system, which is what, because I played the Indiana Jones D6 game, but before it was a D6 game, it was the Masterbook system.
What?
And they had a deck of cards.
Oh, you haven't heard about that?
No.
Yeah. There's a deck of cards called the I think they're called like the storybook cards or something like that, and they were nothing but random events but they were for the players to use, and it was more tied to your character. But if you shift that to like a DM thing where it's like not like piss on you and here's punishment, but rather this is a random thing that even I'm not in control of, let's roll with this and see what happens.
Because the idea is the players know they're introducing that level of randomness when they're like, you know what guys, we all agree that was awesome, you get a chaos point, and the GM's like, okay, I don't know when I'm going to use it,
right.
But it's in my back pocket.
And characters should be aware that like this might be a boon to us.
It might be good.
There is a chance where it's just like, oh.
Is it almost like the deck of many things?
I would think it would be
make
smaller.
It better.
We need something general. Like we need general enough they could apply to any combat. Because I would imagine you'd use them in combat the way that you use momentum or something
like that. I think there should be combat and non-combat options.
Tables. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say if you lean less towards combat and more towards just a story event of some kind that's generic enough that you could apply it to like almost any situation. So let's just say you're in the middle of combat and you're about to defeat the son of the big bad who is supposed to escape but is about to fucking die, and you're like, I don't really know what's going to happen. Let's do a chaos point, boom, and then suddenly you pull out a card, and it could be anything from
an earthquake.
Yeah, it could be anything from an earthquake, and that could help
a solar
help someone escape. Mm-hmm. And you could either, it could be to your advantage to do the story thing you wanted to do, or it doesn't help you at all, and it helps the players in a way that they don't even care.
You know what would be really fun is if it was setting specific what happens. So for instance, like we created perennial threats with Heaven's Army and the Marked, and
let's also be real, the Devouring Worm is now a major threat.
The idea that like, so say Oblivion is a perfect vector for this kind of thing. It's like okay, if you roll a 5, an Oblivion portal opens and a demon walks out, and you're like, you know which demon because you've set it up that way.
Yeah.
And also in the world of Oblivion, a dragon shows up, or you know, in Skyrim, like Oblivion portal opens, a dragon shows up, these different things.
Oh, suddenly the ground shakes. You've been fighting on top of a dragon grave this entire time.
Yeah.
And it's
but
like,
if you're in the air, that doesn't work, right? So you got to find a way for a dragon to show up. You know, like that could be...
It could be written...
It's still got to be at the DM's discretion, and you still have to have malleability.
The idea that like a large monster has awakened... Yeah. By what just happened.
Yeah.
It has been awakened. That's a good one,
and,
right?
And you might not even have to fight it at that encounter, but now you're like, oh, we know it exists, and it's in this area, and bad things are happening.
Or just, you know, like, the demon can either step through a portal, and it's either like, you woke me up, I'm gonna fucking fight. Or it's you killed that guy so good.
Yeah.
I want to offer you a deal. And suddenly, the story can go in a crazy awesome direction.
So like, I would say, large monster awakened, mm-hmm. and the GM could decide whether or not it fights you or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Earthquake. Tsunami.
For a non-combat one, just straight up personal tragedy would be great.
Hmm. I feel like having, like, what if you're all, like, you're fighting some rats and then some guy's going to go, oh, telegram? Like, by the way, your mom died.
I think there needs to be a combat and non-combat.
Right.
I do think you need to be able to engage. We're like, oh, a traveler does find you. We're like, oh, your dad died.
So I feel like...
Well, if your player's like, my dad's already dead. Fuck you, DM. You know, like...
But it's up to the DM of what it would be. Right. Well, so right now, the large monster awakened and natural disaster both can happen out of combat.
Yeah.
I was going to say, gaining the attention of a higher power, whether that's metaphysical or physical, like if you gain the attention of a duke who was watching or heard about it or whatever, and it doesn't even have to happen in the moment so much as just like, word of this has spread and someone knows.
Mysterious benefactor?
Sure. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it could be, remember that in Fallout, you would pick up that perk that has the mystery man?
Mysterious stranger.
Yeah, mysterious stranger. That would just show up and like take the last shot and shoot somebody.
Dude.
Yeah. And that plants a story seed.
It's so much better in Fallout 4 because Nick Valentine is the only other character that makes mention of him. He's like, did you see that guy? Did you see what he did? He has a case file on him.
That's great.
And he's been like following me. He's like, I don't know who this fucker is, but he shows up everywhere.
How did he get there?
That's awesome.
So it's kind of understood that Nick Valentine himself has the Mysterious Stranger perk.
So we got three. We got three now. So we got Large Monster, Natural Disaster, Mysterious Benefactor.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do three more. Let's make it a die six.
Sign of Prophecy, just like an eclipse, a blood moon, something.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, a sign of...
Bad omen?
Or just an omen.
Omen, yeah.
So like if you're like... So this is almost like more freestyle, like it's just a prompt.
Yeah.
And you're like,
something.
Owen. And you're like, oh, you know that magic axe you have that's unbreakable? Even though you didn't hit anybody with it, it's just in your hands, it fucking shatters.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? And then it could be any, you know...
Or the moon turns blood red, or the sun gets blotted out, or there's a giant storm on the horizon. And that can be a fun jump off moment for story that can change your story.
How about just magical item?
Because
it could be good or bad. It could be a weapon. Yeah. It could be just something you find you can't use. Like
it'd be cursed. It could be
magical item.
It could be a talking donkey.
I just realized the talking donkey momentum is spent by players to alter the story.
Yes,
these are things spent by GMs to alter in an even bigger way. Like they alter it on the scale of a player in a big world. So of course the GM has to have it to alter the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So thinking in those terms. There's a lot, you know, that you could totally do. I'm just going to get that Master Book card deck with me next time, and we'll go over it, and we'll go over some of those.
So we need one more, and I kind of want to make it real big.
Yeah.
If you roll a six,
it
should be, people should worry about it.
Armageddon?
If you're going to spend a bunch of chaos points, because if you're the DM
of a game, and you're like, oh boy,
there's a 1 in 6 chance the world will end.
Yeah, there's a 1 in 6 chance that all of the work I've done.
This campaign.
Of all the work I've done, suddenly is going to pause, maybe never pick up again, because the world is ending. That's a little much.
Political shift, maybe?
No, I'm thinking like on the level of something like Armageddon. Maybe, how about just disease?
Plague.
Whether it's in a local town or whether everybody in your party gets affected by it.
Pandemic.
Well, because it may be small, right? Okay. It may just be you guys, right?
Outbreak.
Maybe, done.
Maybe it could be a jailbreak. Like if it's open to interpretation.
Tonight, there's going to be one.
God, I love that.
Somewhere in this town.
That album is so good.
Burp, burp.
I just love Thin Lizzy, man.
Boys Back in Town isn't even the best song on that album.
No. Well, because Jailbreak's better than Boys Back in Town.
Yeah.
All right. And I think that's going to do it for this week. So what we didn't get into is items and step three for everyone. But I feel like I want to wait till Max is here to really start getting into that as well. But I feel like we got a lot to work with here because I like the idea of the Chaos Dice as a GM reward.
Yeah.
I kind of want to play around with it. But I do want to hear from patrons about what they think of the idea of...
Yeah. If a GM saves up enough points, do they get to do something else?
And I actually just want to make this a general point because people have been finding me on social media or messaging me directly. Hey, if you have comments or questions, if you could direct them to the page or the Patreon or our Facebook or Instagram so that everyone can answer them, that would be great.
Yeah, and also commenting on our Patreon is good because it allows all of us to interact with you and... It also is specific to the episode that the item you
it's
were talking about.
A centralized discussion.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a patron yet to comment, so please feel free. We're hungry for any feedback. Even if you hate it, we want to know why. Like that is useful information.
Yeah, part of this is having a conversation about what we're doing, and yeah, the more feedback, and if anyone is playing this game and you want to tell us how it's going,
we would cry. We would be so happy.
My friends, you don't like me anymore. You've ruined my life.
You have to be my friends now. All right. So speaking to that, if you guys want to play along, obviously we have a Patreon. At the $5 tier, you get every bit of product that we put out. So you can follow along. We're making rule books and tables and materials for GMs and stuff like that. And we're releasing it as we make it. So please, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to play it with your friends, show up, leave us a message, become a patron. We would love to have you as part of this conversation.
Additionally, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/RPGFS.
And you can find us at Instagram at RPG from scratch. One word.
You can find us on Twitter at homebrewhombres.
So, guys, thank you so much for listening. We're so excited for the fan support we've gotten from everyone. The feedback has been amazing. Until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.